Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist Adam Bly, and definitely you today. We're opening up the phone lines as we talk about mystics and miracles today on this beautiful feast day of St. Rose of Lima, the first canonized saint of the Americas, and she is a beautiful saint, very powerful saint. We're going to talk about how mystics, what a mystic is, what are miracles. Can you recognize a miracle? We're going to go to the catechism, all sorts of things. But you know what? We don't start any of it until we begin in prayer with the Saint Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, mystics and miracles is our topic today. We do have the phone lines open. We've got Libby and Carol on the phones ready to answer your call. And we'd love for you to weigh in on this topic as we unpack it together as the spirit world family. So a couple things before we get started. Adam, please, let's wave to everyone getting the chats going on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and Twitch. Okay, you guys are doing great. Put your comments in the chats there. And on this beautiful feast day of St. Rose of Lima, maybe some of you are devoted to this great saint and you'd like to add some comments or some stories about how she showed up for you, right? And then we're going to take your calls, and we really would like to make this an impactful discussion in this brief hour we get to spend with one another. But before we begin, I always check in with my co-host, Adam Bly, to see how he's doing. How are you doing, Adam?
Oh, I think I'm doing well. Life is busy. I'm excited because next week I'll be taking a week to wrap up some writing projects. And that is always a big relief when they're done. You know, writing books is not something I'd ever thought I would do, mm-hmm. but it does get a little easier each time you do it. So, nice. Yeah, if you could pray for me to get that done and hopefully do it well, that'd be great.
Absolutely. You're covered in prayer because we are prayer warriors here. And also, Adam, we're starting a class coming up in September 2nd with the GRN Academy. We're super excited about that. If you would like to register for that Angels and Demons class, you can still do it. It's the registration time right now. It's very cost friendly. And all you do is go to grnonline.com/academy. Anything you want to say about our great class that's starting?
Oh, I'm just excited about it. We're going to go beyond like the 5 or 10 facts most people, hear about angels or read about angels, and try to dive more deeply, like into scripture, tradition, fathers of the church, you know, the great theologians that have thought on these issues, and then the private revelation of some of the saints, and try to get as complete a picture as we can on the holy angels. And, you know, we will address the fallen angels too, because that is part of the picture, but the emphasis will be on the holy angels, because the fallen are kind of, you learn a lot of the basics of all angels when we initially study it, but we will get into that too. And I'm hoping it's useful for people, and they can go deeper than maybe they have before.
Right. Well, we are getting folks that are signing up, so please check it out at grnonline.com/academy. Okay, Adam, I know we're going into the catechism first on mystics and miracles, but let me give the phone number because Libby and Carol are ready to, and we can start getting the calls in. So if you have something to say about understanding miracles better, or even understanding the mystics, right? And you want to talk about the saints right on this beautiful day of the feast day of St. Rose of Lima, please call in. Don't don't hesitate. We welcome all calls, and you don't have to be Catholic to call in. That's the beauty of being part of the family. 877-757-9424 is the number to dial. 877-757-9424. Start dialing now, because it takes a couple minutes for Libby and Carol to chat with you, and they'll put you on hold. You'll get to listen live. But Adam, now we can turn our attention to learning all about mystics and miracles.
Okay, so both of these topics are huge, right? And most of us know that. They're very much related, because they're both things that God does, some things that God does within our lives, and then some things that God does that are visible to the world. And sometimes it's both. You know, sometimes the mystics are visible to the world. Usually they're not. It's also a very romantic topic, in the sense that I know when I first encountered, you know, the idea of a mystic, you know, somebody that had a direct connection with God, or a direct experience with God, or, you know, was hearing God's voice, or, you know, was performing miracles, you know, healings are associated with this person, that type of thing. It's got a very kind of romantic connotation to it, I think, initially. But it's good to put it in context that it isn't just that there's a few special people out there that God gives, you know, this special favor to, and the rest of us just tough, you know, we're out of luck. To understand that mysticism or connections with the divine, they come in a gradient. Like, we do experience a lot of gifts from the divine and indications of our connection with the divine through the sacramental life, through the sanctifying grace of Jesus, all of that. So we're going to kind of run through it here, and hopefully put it in context and get it a little more specific than I think a lot of us think about it in.
And you know, Adam, before you begin, let me just give the number again, because if folks want to share their mystical experiences, if they've had one, it would be a wonderful time for them to call in. So if you've had an encounter that you just feel like it's out of this world, it's really unique, share it with us. Do you have a story? 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. Please don't wait till the end of the show, guys, because we don't like to leave anybody on the line when the show runs out. So call us right now. Okay, Adam.
Okay. So when you look at the catechism, the word mystic on its own really isn't there. The church doesn't give us a whole lot of guidance on what a mystic is in terms of an individual. Like, we think of Padre Pio, right? He had these tremendous kind of gifts and connections with God. But what it gives us a ton about is the mystical body of Christ. And we've heard that phrase a lot. And that will help us get to what a mystic is. So let's start with Catechism, paragraph 779. The church is both visible and spiritual, a hierarchical society, and the mystical body of Christ. She is one, yet formed of two components, human and divine. This is her mystery, which only faith can accept. Okay, so the church is actually two things. It's not just the institution that we see, and the Pope on TV, and the buildings, and, you know, the bishops and cardinals, and who votes for what, and who's in charge, and my pastor, and, you know, getting the sacraments, all that. There's a human dimension to it, but there's also a divine body of Christ. Okay. So the church is both physical and spiritual. Not surprising, but good to get that. So let's move on to what a mystic person is then. So Catechism, paragraph 2014, spiritual progress tends towards ever more intimate union with Christ. This union is called mystical, because it participates in the mystery of Christ through the sacraments, the holy mysteries, and in Him, in the mystery of the Holy Trinity. God calls us all to this intimate union with Him, even if the special graces or extraordinary signs of this mystical life are granted only to some, for the sake of manifesting the gratuitous gift given to all. Okay, so if we sum that up, we're all receiving gifts from God. We're all receiving special graces. It's just, it's not always given in a visible way, or signs aren't given along with it that are visible to other people. So that's super important. It's not like, okay, there's Padre Pio, you know, for whatever reason, God gave him all this special stuff and special access and, you know, special sensitivity and all those things, but I'm over here and I don't get anything. We all get the same things through the sacraments, through the graces of God, but some people, it becomes more visible. So that's important, not to feel that we're deficient if we're not experiencing these unusual things.
Well, let me stop you right there for a second. Do you, in your research on this, when you say some, we all get the gifts, but some are more profound, right? Some are more out there in the world. Is it because that person is more receptive? Is God, has that person, you know, said yes in various ways by their life? You know, how does that kind of work for us to kind of gauge where we're at?
My sense of it is that God gives us different missions and different gifts in life to do those missions, right? Different, you could call them charisms. That's one kind of type of gift, kind of a knack or a spiritual ability that goes along with the mission that we've been given. So I think that's part of it. Then we also have to say yes to those things, right? We have to say yes to the mission and yes to the gifts. The gifts are kind of going to be there whether we say yes or not. But when we say yes, I think they get activated and used by God in a way where they unfold to their fullest extent.
Okay, so let me ask you this question because this is important. I know if I'm thinking this, I kind of can assume that a lot of our listeners are as well because I've journeyed with them for many years. If you feel something is on your heart to do something for the Lord and you just can feel it, you don't know what it is, but you just feel, you have that sense that God is calling you to do something. Mm-hmm. Is that an accurate sense? In your research, have you found that the other saints have felt that same thing? That, you know, when people say it's been put on my heart to do this or that?
Well, maybe, maybe not. So it's really hard to differentiate between imagination, you know, and our own mind and something that God is prompting us to.
That's fair.
We can't assume that just because I felt that way at church and I feel good when I think about it, that proves it's absolutely God and I must do this thing. So some of the things to look for to discern that is it in conflict with the life that God has already established me in? For instance, if I'm in the married life and I have some kids that I'm raising and suddenly I feel like, oh, I think I'm supposed to be a hermit.
Right. Yeah,
is that from God? It doesn't make sense because if God's already given you the gift of a family, why would he call you to something that violates, you know, what he has already given you and the responsibilities in the ministry of parenthood? So that's one. Another one is reciprocal discernment.
Right.
Go to your pastor, go to whoever in the church is in charge of this thing that you think you're supposed to be doing. Meet with them, pray with them, ask them to pray about it. And if they also feel that same kind of indication from God, then it can be explored. But we need to be cooperative with the authority that God has placed in the world that regulates whatever it is we think we're supposed to be doing.
So not every feeling is that God is saying to you, okay, I need you to do this. This is the gifts. I need you to go out into the world. So not every feeling is going to manifest that way. Okay,
right.
Got it. All right. So I know we're going to a break, so we're going to hold it there. Adam's going to pick up on the other side of the break. We do have calls coming in. This is our topic today is mystics and miracles. We're going to understand both what a mystic is and how to identify a miracle. Yep. So we'll be talking about that. We'd love to hear from you at 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. We're very friendly, so please call in. We so love first-time callers, and we have one on the line waiting to come on air with us when we come back.
Do you enjoy learning about your Catholic faith? The GRN Academy is a new online school developed by the Guadalupe Radio Network to help you learn and grow in your faith. Live online classes start on September 2nd and cover topics like Aquinas' Summa Theologica, music in the liturgy, angels and demons, and Catholic apologetics. For more information and to register for courses, visit grnonline.com/academy.
Many Protestants believe Christians can be absolutely sure they're going to heaven because John tells us in 1 John 5:13, "I write this that you may know you have eternal life." But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, John writes in the next verse, and this is the confidence which we have in him. For John, the knowledge we have of our salvation is not a certainty without doubt, but a confident assurance. And that's the Catholic belief. Second, we know this is what John means because in verse 15, he draws a parallel between our knowledge of salvation and our knowledge that God grants our requests. Do we have absolute certitude that God will grant our requests? No, but we are confident he will answer. So, Catholics need not worry. John is not teaching Protestant doctrine here. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We got a lot of first-time callers today. Thank you so very much. And we invited all our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, and you're calling in. So this is wonderful. So everybody hang on the line. We're just going to finish with this brief understanding and teaching on mystics and miracles. We've got questions coming in, Adam, about, if you had a mystical experience, does that make you a mystic? We got great questions coming in, but I want to let you finish. And we've got to then hurry to the phones, get all these questions answered. So go right ahead.
Okay. So we basically said, the mystical body of Christ, the spiritual part of the church, is there. Mystical gifts, basically, think of it as, you could say, divine gifts. They come from God, and we all receive some divine gifts, primarily through the sacraments in the church. There are people that have particular special gifts that are manifest and seen by others that are unusual. Okay. So really quick, what are the basic things that we're all enjoying in the sense that we're all mystics, right? So we don't need to feel like I'm deficient because I'm not Padre Pio and experiencing this stuff and levitating like, Teresa of Avila or something like that. We all receive, we talk about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to unpack all those, but that's wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. These are kind of the basics that we all receive at baptism to some degree or another, and then we develop them through our life through cooperating with God and learning and growing, okay? Jesus has those in fullness. We have some of those that we share from him, from Jesus. These are more or less permanent traits, and we can build them up through life as we learn and grow, but they're basically permanent traits that are there with us. Then we have charismatic gifts that we talk about, right? These are a little bit more unusual in some cases, but some are real basic. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, and speaking in tongues and interpreting those tongues. Now, some of these are unusual. Miracles like healings, prophecy, speaking in tongues and interpreting that, what's being said. And some are more normal. Wisdom, knowledge, faith. Okay, so those are also gifts that come from the divine. But what we usually mean when we talk about mystics, we're usually thinking of the Padre Pios, the Teresa of Avila, the people, that are exhibiting really unusual things. Mm-hmm. And this is the category that the church talks about, the profound union with God. St. John of the Cross would talk about it as a unitive stage, kind of the right. final stage of spiritual development. Takes usually, you know, now God can do this at any time, of course, but usually when we were pursuing this, if it's going to happen at all, it's after years upon years upon years of spiritual work and development. But this profound union, where we think of, you know, these saints, we think of them as, we primarily think of the saints, this comes from like this deep contemplation of God, God revealing himself to these people in an unusual way. And here we're talking about things like levitation, stigmata, the odor of sanctity or the scent of flowers being around them, the reading of souls like Padre Pio, knowing people's sins that they hadn't confessed that they needed to, people that right. don't eat for weeks or months and don't lose any weight, people having visions and apparitions. So there's this profound union with God, and this is the part that we usually... That's what we're thinking when we say mystic usually, but I just wanted to put it in context. Yes, those are rare. We don't all get those by a long shot, but we do get the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of us get the charismatic gifts. Okay, so we all get the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is from the divine, and it's from contact with the divine. We don't all get charismatic gifts, but many people do. Those are also gifts from the divine and contact with the divine, and then very few get this profound union with God that is seen and kind of basically looks miraculous. Now, not all mystics are saints, and not all saints are mystics, right? So there are mystics in the world that are not known during their life or after their death, and they're never proclaimed saints. And they may be legitimate and real, but they've not been studied, and the church hasn't made statements about them. And there are saints, plenty of them, that did not have these mystical phenomena around them, like the levitation, the stigmata, things like that. So there's tons of saints that did not have these things. So we don't mm-hmm. need to, again, think that you're deficient or even that the saint is deficient because they didn't have those. Now, super briefly, we're going to jump into Thomas Aquinas about, you know, when we say miracles, what do we mean?
Well, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hold that for just a little bit and get our first set of calls? Because we have full phone lines. Plus.
I'm scared that we'll never get back to it because the calls will be filled.
Well, then what do you think of this?
Give me 45 seconds.
You got it. Go right ahead.
Okay. So miracles are things that nature does, but God does it faster. Okay, like a wound healing instantly. What nature does, but done in reverse. If water flowed uphill, that would be something nature does, but in reverse. God would have to do that because gravity is gravity. And then what nature can never do, like the sun dancing in the sky. Okay, by the way, footnote, demons can't do miracles. They can't do these things because they can't create. They're a creature. They're not the creator. They can move matter around and do a sham of miracles and make it seem like it, but it's not God's action.
Right.
The church did figure out a long time ago to create safe places for people to pursue God that seemed to have mystical gifts or people that wanted to pursue God and pursue that profound union. And that's what the monasteries and convents and religious orders really, to a large extent, were about. Mm-hmm. Creating a place where you didn't have to worry about the world and you could just dedicate yourself to God and that union with God for the rest of your life. Again, these experiences do happen in the world amongst regular people, but you have to be super cautious about believing that things are of God just because they seem amazing. And just because somebody claims to have these experiences, they may not be telling the truth. They may want attention. There's lots of YouTube stuff, and TikTok stuff about people claiming to have visions and things like that. Don't assume just because they say it, it's real. The church is very slow and cautious about making any statement saying that something is truly mystical, truly something of the divine. So we need to really take heed of that because the church has 2,000 years of experience of looking into these things. And if the church is super cautious and slow and skeptical, we need to be the same way.
Beautiful. You packed that all in a couple minutes. That was impressive.
I know. I went beyond 45 seconds. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hey, Adam, if somebody has a mystical experience, are they considered a mystic?
Not necessarily, because again, for the church to refer to somebody as a mystic, the church would have had to have examined their life. So you could make that claim for yourself, but that's not really authoritative.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because how can you be sure? I'm just telling you that.
Right, Right. Okay, this is great. And we can get back to more on mystics and miracles when we have some breaks in between. But we do. We had one person drop because they maybe you couldn't wait. If you want to call back, you're welcome to call back. Or there's an open line for you at 877-757-9424. It's no surprise that we have full phone lines plus here on the Spirit World. So let's get to the phones, Adam, if that's okay with you, and greet our first caller, first-time caller, Renee from Houston, Texas. Listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Renee, thank you so much for waiting and just hanging in there with us. So welcome.
Wonderful. Well, I am a Protestant. I have listened for many years. I love your show, and thank I love you. The Spirit World. I work on Saturday morning, so it's a really nice way I can get my information, and I really appreciate that. But my experience. I was 19 and I was in a non-denominational church, and they had a relaxation prayer meditation where they relax you, and it wasn't forced. They didn't tell you what to think by any means, but you went into your upper room to commune with God and visualize the door, open the door and go in. And we were in there for a little bit. I was, and I had this light energy being, It didn't have a form or a face or figure, but it's like he reached out and said, "My child, be at peace." And I was kneeling. I was very humble. And I had my hands crossed in front of my chest, kneeling before this energy, loving presence. I mean, it radiated love through every cell of my body. And it's been with me. I'm 63 now. It's been with me my entire life. But listening to your show, too, and other people say, you know, light beings can be demonic also. And is there an association? This was such a loving and intense experience. And then we came out of it and came back slowly into the service. And I was just stunned. I was shocked. I didn't talk about it for many years, actually. But I wanted to see if the demonic can represent the love, intensity of the love that I felt. That's my question. Thank
okay,
you.
Renee. When you say it's been with you your whole life, it's the memory of that has been with you, or you still have these experiences?
No, it's just the memory.
Okay.
I would not say I'm a mystic at all, but it's the memory of that mm-hmm. love and connection, and mm-hmm. oh my gosh, just to be in the presence of this entity was just amazing.
Yeah, so of course we can't say for sure. Is it possible? Here's the thing. Yes, it's possible that it's a trick, because Paul warns us the devil can come as an angel of light, right?
Right.
So we do need to be cautious now, because you've lived this your life. You lived all these years. You haven't had unusual bad problems, right? You haven't had demonic
no.
problems or afflictions. So
No, not at all.
Right. So if it was a trick, it would have developed into problems by now. It would have developed into mm-hmm. problems pretty quickly. It would be seeking communication with you. It would be showing back up in your dreams or in your house and wanting a relationship with you. And if this
right.
was a one and done like that, I think there's, you know, I'd say it's a reasonable chance that was holy. That was probably God.
Or could it have been her guardian angel?
Could have been the guardian angel, but the reference to child makes it seem like it might be more God the Father. So it very well could be, Renee. I would say it's probably not demonic, because it would have developed into problems. So could it be imagination? Maybe. You know, but if there's been good fruit from it, that would be the other big test, is what is the fruit of it? And if it's been encouraging to you and you've seen spiritual development since then, that would also lean towards it being something holy.
Okay. Well, it was wonderful. And I have to tell you, I was in a Catholic church, and I saw this row of angels with their hands crossed in front of their chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I've never seen that anywhere else in church. And that's how I immediately went into that pose to kneel before this beautiful, wonderful entity, which I call God.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just amazing. I still get goosebumps thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. So when you say you saw angels, you saw an image in the church, right? It's an image like
yeah,
a stained
yeah,
glass
was
or
a wall. It was
a wall
image
right?
From,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had the hands crossed, and I'd never seen that before in church, and that's immediately what I did in this pose to be in front of this in God, in front of God.
Right.
It
right.
was very humbling, but oh my gosh, it was just wonderful.
You know, Renee, it's very interesting. You seem very comfortable then in a Catholic church. I don't know if, and you're listening to Catholic radio and you said such kind words. I don't know if you've ever thought about coming into Holy Mother Church. I mean, we're very friendly and it's very welcoming. And
yes.
So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Well, if you ever want...
If
you ever want resources, real quickly, go to CatholicsComeHome.org. CatholicsComeHome.org. Great resources there, Renee. You are just a delight to talk to. I know we're going to hit the pause button in a moment, and you waited so long to get on air with us. It was your first time calling. Please, Renee, call us again, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much for your information, too.
God bless you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Renee. What a great call. Now, we were going to get to John, a first-time caller in South Carolina. And, John, you dropped off. John, call back from Columbia, South Carolina, listening on Catholic Radio in South Carolina. Beautiful station there. John, please call back. You were a first-time caller. When we come back, more of your calls about, we're talking about mystics and miracles today. What makes a mystic? What is a miracle? Very, very important stuff we're talking about today that can help you on that and to deepen your spiritual life. So please consider calling in at 877-757-9424. You can always email us, tsw@grnonline.com. We'll be right back.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In his letter to the city of Philippi, Paul exhorts us to rejoice in the Lord always. Then, just to make sure we get it, he repeats himself, rejoice. He encourages us to have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving to let our requests be made known to God. We can exercise trust and total dependence on Him. Praise, worship, and conversation with God are not designed to change Him. They are designed to change us. It is in the heart of that praise that we discover that nothing is impossible with God, and that life in the Holy Spirit is a life of peace. This peace is our witness to a war-torn, bloody, fatigued, and depressed world. This peace is our birthright once we completely belong to Him.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Stand Tall is now offering advanced group coaching sessions with master coaches highly trained in life skills. Visit standtalltoday.com and register for one of our upcoming group coaching events. These virtual opportunities are designed to take you to the next level of life in your relationships, career, faith walk, and so much more. Space is limited. Hurry to standtalltoday.com and sign up for one of our advanced group coaching sessions. standtalltoday.com.
St. Thomas Aquinas' writings are important to Catholic theology, and Aquinas was influenced by Aristotle. Aristotle's writings are as relevant today as they were for Aquinas and are important for understanding our faith. Join me, Dr. Ray Lopez, in my 7-week course on Aristotle's ethics starting on September 6th and hosted by the GRN Academy. To sign up, visit grnonline.com/academy.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, we are back. We have full phone lines, plus still another shout out to John. One more last shout out to John, if you can call back from Columbia, South Carolina, because you were a first time caller. And I just love the Spirit World listeners and followers. You guys are so amazing. You can always like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. You totally made our weekend, Rochelle. Thank you so much. Rochelle on Facebook says, Debbie and Adam rock this show. No other hosted shows come close. That is so sweet. I'm going to save that post forever, Rochelle. And if I ever feel down, I'm going to read that post. Thank you so much. That is such an awesome comment, and we are humbled by that. And also, Adam, there's others on Facebook. We had Rochelle and Maria. If you could read Maria's comment in a little bit, we have to answer that question, which would be great. And then also, let's get back to the phones. Now, I'm going to turn to our senior producer, Tim Mott, because we have so many calls. I'm not sure where we're going next and who we're going to next. I know we've got a lot of first-time callers. So, Tim, I'll let you decide.
Okay, so our next caller is Teresa from Poplar Bluff, Missouri, listening on EWTN. Teresa, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I actually called with the same kind of question before, but you didn't have a chance to get it on the air. A message from you told me to look up the Gift of Tears, and I couldn't do that because I'm blind. But I'll briefly tell you what happened. It's been my practice to listen to the Station of the Cross every Friday. And one, I turned it on one Friday, and I started to cry. I really cry and sob, at, like my best friend had died. And I kept saying I'm sorry for the whole thing. I cried through the whole 30 minutes at the Station of the Cross. When it went off, it's like somebody flicked a switch and the tears just stopped. And one of my priests that I've had over the years said, his actual words were, I've never known anyone who's had a real mystic experience. And so I'm calling. I want to know, was it a mystic experience? And can you tell me anything more about the Gift of Tears or anything I should know?
Okay, Teresa. That's a lot, Teresa, and you're helping others because you're not alone in this with the Gift of Tears, okay? So we'll discuss this, and maybe this can help you to kind of get some understanding what happened to you privately. Adam?
Yeah, Teresa. So, I would say this is certainly a mystic experience. It sounds like you were kind of, God gave you an appreciation for the sorrow, connected with the passion of Jesus, and the sense that we all contributed to that and through our sin. And so I have felt that too. It's that sense of I'm sorry for what you had to do for us is the way it feels to me.
A deep sense, deep into your soul. It's very, very deep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I would say that this is a gift for you to encourage you on your spiritual journey. And when God gives us something a little bit unusual, I would follow that. So if you were given this kind of prompting, in a sense, to connect with the Stations of the Cross, I would follow that in your prayer life. Ask Jesus, okay, Lord, you seem to have given me a particular connection with the Stations of the Cross. Can you help me and show me where you want me to go with this? What do you want me to understand? What do you want me to learn? Mm-hmm. So maybe, find some good quality meditations on the Stations of the Cross from a saint, or explore that and look into it. When we have these things, Teresa, they're ultimately for our spiritual growth. Yes, it encourages other people, but I would say primarily this is about you and encouraging you in your future work and the direction in your spiritual life.
Yeah, absolutely. Teresa, a couple other things. You shared that you're visually impaired. That is correct?
Blind.
Okay, so you are blind. Okay.
Not just impaired, but, totally blind.
Okay, so Teresa, we have seen this a lot with people that are blind in the church. They receive a very incredible depth of understanding and an intimacy that is beyond kind of us, the regular folk out there in the pews. Okay, so I would also add that to it because have you noticed it, Adam? Because we've seen it a lot when I was in ministry, that people that are blind, they tend to have a heightened sense in certain areas, and you can have a deeper connection. It doesn't surprise me at all that you are feeling that so internally, and then it moves reduced to tears. Oftentimes, you will see people receive the Eucharist, and because I was an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion for 20 years, and you'll see people receive the Eucharist and they'll burst into tears. It's not because they're sad. It's because they have that deep sense within them that God has allowed that I can feel the Holy Spirit as I'm saying this, Teresa, that God has allowed them to intimately connect that way. In my humble opinion, Teresa, that is a true gift from God to you specifically. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Adam. Go deeper with that, Teresa. You're on to something spiritually.
I just wanted to say one thing. At the time, right after it, I kind of felt like it was like an ultimate act of contrition. I've been a naughty girl all my life, you know, and I had come back to the church just before this happened, and yeah, it has always felt like my ultimate act of contrition.
Mm-hmm.
I was very sorry.
Yeah, that's a gift. That's a gift of repentance.
Yep.
And seeing the price of sin. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a gift.
Thank you so much, Teresa. We hope that has helped today. We do have absolute full phone lines, so we're going to have to move very quickly. This is like the lightning round of the final calls coming in. So we'll try to get to everybody. Teresa, thank you so much for calling back, and call us again, definitely. Okay, we're going to move to Wendy, who's a first-time caller and a first-time listener in Norman, Oklahoma, on Oklahoma Catholic Radio. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. Go
thank
right
you
ahead.
For having me.
Yes.
Well, I was just kind of resonating with this whole spiritual talk today in mystics, because like I never grew up in the Catholic Church. I went to two Catholic high schools when I was younger, but I decided that wasn't necessarily for me, but I'm a very deeply spiritual person. I started having a spiritual awakening about 6 months ago, and I felt like I was just on this accelerated path of learning and devotion. I tune into energies. When the last caller was talking about, you were talking about heightened senses, I feel like I can see beyond just what the naked eye sees, and so just kind of going upon, like drawing upon that. You know, I'm a big believer in like finding truth. I'm a truth seeker, finding justices, righting wrongs, uncovering truths. And because of that, I'm just a really, really deep, deep person. I take deep dives into everything. And with doing so, I was able to connect with crystals. I feel like I'm able to connect with, divine spirit that kind of works through me.
Okay, Wendy, I'm going to stop you for 1 second because you're going in a certain direction. I just want to stop you for 1 second. You said you went to Catholic school. I'm assuming, or were you baptized Catholic?
I was never baptized, although I'm scheduled to be baptized. I have a friend of mine that's going to baptize me. I had a rebirth. So this year, when I had my spiritual awakening, I found a Church of Divine Philosophy, and I went there.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Hold on, Wendy. I have to just tell you something. It came over me so quickly. I think you're headed down a path that could be very spiritually dangerous, and I'm going to turn it over to Adam, but I just want you to think about this before you go down that path, because I think what you're doing, and I can tell by the words you're using, it's different than what I was saying about a heightened senses. I'm talking about what we know to be true as baptized Christians. So it's very different than what you're talking about. So let Adam comment real quickly, but Wendy, I'd like you to reconsider this, and actually I'd like you to come home to the Catholic Church, because if you went to Catholic school, there's a reason. And if you're a deep person and you're a truth seeker, then you're gonna work your way right into the Catholic Church. Most people who are truth seekers come back to the Catholic Church. Adam.
Yeah, Wendy. So, I mean, I hate to be a bummer, but I have to be a bummer a little bit. And this isn't just me being preachy and saying, you know, oh, you need to see things the way I do. I've got 20 years of experience of working with people that have ended up in spiritual trouble. So what I'm saying is based primarily on that, though there are theological reasons too. You got to be careful with the New Age stuff. You're essentially describing New Age stuff, and crystals are just rocks. They don't have any spiritual power. when we attribute spiritual power to things, unblessed things of the world, it's a form of idolatry, and inevitably spirits working through you, as you're describing, kind of almost inevitably leads to problems. You have to be really, really careful. Especially you're a little more vulnerable, to be honest, because you're not baptized. Once you are baptized, if it's done right, make sure whoever's doing this does it right, uses the proper words and uses water. I would encourage you to get baptized properly in the Catholic Church after a preparation, as opposed to just kind of doing it real quick and somebody just willing to do it. You need to understand what you're committing to, because if you're getting baptized into as a Christian, Wendy, you are committing to the Ten Commandments, and you are committing to not doing things like playing with crystals and attributing power to them and working with spirits, quote unquote, because by becoming a Christian, you are committing to only worshiping the one true God and to not engaging in necromancy, which is calling up spirits of the dead, if that's the type of spirit you were talking about, and essentially having Jesus Christ, the Trinity, mm-hmm. at the center of your spiritual life. So,
and people say that Jesus Christ is at the center, but it's really just
there's a New Age version.
Version
that they have that they kind of cobble together. So, right. just be very careful.
Yeah, please be careful, Wendy. I would really talk to a Catholic priest first before you go down this path. I don't know. I'm feeling it so strongly, Wendy. I think you're going in the wrong direction.
Well, I appreciate the input. I don't want to go on fear. Okay, I go on spirit, so I'm being guided. If I felt like I was being guided on a wrong path, I wouldn't go there. I'm not a New Age person. I'm 53, 54 years old next month, and so I've been through a lot of different avenues. Just in my own life, my own experiences, I experience something, and then I figure out why I experienced it. It's not that I'm going searching for anything. It's just these things are happening to me, and I try to figure out why it happened and what mm-hmm. resonates within me, what feels right, what feels true.
I get it, Wendy, we get it, but that could also be very much tricks from the demons doing that to get you to go into the feelings. Adam, real quickly.
Yeah, just a final thing, Wendy, be careful of letting emotion lead you in your spiritual journey. I can't give you the scripture off the top of my head, but, Christianity, the Catholic faith, cautions us about letting emotion guide our spiritual lives. We want to let intellect and reason guide our spiritual lives. Yes, you can have emotional spiritual experiences that kind of confirm
I don't go by emotion. Yeah.
Okay, but you were kind of describing that. But anyway, again, not trying to be a bummer, Wendy, not trying to fight with you, just trying to sincerely, as a human being to a human being, please be careful.
Yeah, be careful.
And think about what you're committing to when you get baptized. Like, look into that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And God, Wendy, you're a first-time caller listener. Please continue to listen and call us if anything should happen. If you have more questions or concerns or if you want to talk more, please get in touch with us. You can always email us, Wendy, tsw@grnonline.com. Okay? We're there for you. Okay?
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Marie is a first-time caller from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 130. Marie, take it away.
Hi. Hi. Well, Wendy answered, I think, a lot of the questions that I have. I have a niece who was raised Catholic, baptized, raised Catholic, went to Catholic school. She's mid-30s now, and, she says she's very spiritual, and, you know, when she'll say, I'll pray for you, Aunt Marie, and, you know, but... just in the last, she's always had sort of a gift where she'll say, is everything all right, Mom? She'll call my sister-in-law, and my brother has Parkinson's, you know, like she'll worry and things like that. And she'll say, I had a feeling something might be wrong. And sure enough, something is wrong, you know. And she's like, she had two little boys right away when she got married, and that was great. And then she didn't want any more kids. And then 6 months later, she kept getting this, you're going to have a girl. You're going to have a girl. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a girl. And she did. And then she got this premonition that she should name the girl June Helene. Well, she didn't like the name Helene, so she didn't do that. And mm-hmm. after the baby was born, she was talking to me and my brother, and we were telling her that, I don't know how it came up, that my mother's middle name was Helene. And she goes, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you know, I thought, what a weird name, and I didn't want to use that name. And she gets things like that all the time, mm-hmm. you know, like she feelings. And she, now she has a website, and she's calling herself a medium, and I don't know if she even realizes that.
And she's a baptized Catholic, so let's stop you right there, because this I hope Wendy is still listening, because this is exactly what we're talking about. Adam, please impress upon everybody about this idea that, you know, the angels, the guardian angels are working. There's a whole network working of angels.
Right.
Okay, so people can be inspired with certain feelings or thoughts and that nature. But that doesn't mean they're psychics. It doesn't mean they're mediums. It doesn't mean any of that. So that's the part, that the theology part and the understanding is missing. When people say they're spiritual, they're lacking a depth of formation. That's the problem. And that's what we're trying to get everybody to understand. Adam, please.
Yeah, so Marie, mediumship is completely contrary to Christianity. It's contrary to the Bible. It's a form of idolatry in the sense that you're turning to some spirit this person supposedly is accessing for comfort or information about the afterlife or about your life or information about the future, whatever it is. That's a violation of the first commandment. Instead of trusting God and God's providence, you're saying, I want my information now, I want my comfort now from this over here, which, by the way, is a person who's charging you money 99% of the time to supposedly put you in touch with these things. You're breaking your friendship with God. You're violating the first commandment. You're entering a state of mortal sin. So it's clearly problematic for any Christian, any Bible-believing Christian, certainly for any Catholic. By the way, necromancy, which in the Bible very specifically means calling up the dead to talk to them, is vehemently forbidden in the Bible. It talks about how God finds that sin abhorrent and will turn his face away from you if you engage in it. So, mediumship is really, really dangerous because it usually develops towards trance mediumship, where the person's actually trying to channel the spirit through their body and let it mm-hmm. use their mouth and speak. These are demons. I have to be blunt. They're demons. When we die, it's heaven, hell, or purgatory. People in heaven aren't going to come and draw you into violating the first commandment. People in purgatory aren't going to do that. God, it just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. God wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't want to do it. Souls in hell stay in hell. So what you have left is demons pretending to be so-and-so. You also have charlatans that are just using cold reading techniques and stringing people along, but it sounds like this person really believes they're playing with spirits in some way. So anyway, Marie...
She doesn't believe in Jesus.
Yeah, if she... You said she doesn't believe in Jesus?
Well, if she does, she certainly has never expressed that.
Yeah,
but
so...
she's a baptized Catholic, though.
It's just not part of her... He believes she's spiritual.
Right.
Well, that's what everybody says, because everybody wants these special gifts that only they can have. It's a mistake, and it's wrong, and that's why we're doing this show. So, Adam, please.
So again...
I just wanted confirmation. Okay.
Yeah. When people say they're spiritual, usually what that really means is, I don't follow any rules, and I tell myself I'm great with God, and I basically follow my emotions.
Right.
It's religion without any structure.
And the other thing too is, and that's why, and even what Wendy was saying real quickly about this idea of having a heightened sense, if you understand what are the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and if you understand the role of the guardian angels, you will know that there's going to be an illumination of the mind. Okay, so there's going to be a connection to the divine, and that's but it comes through the understanding of how God set it up. If we go outside of that and start using our own methods, it makes complete sense that the demons are going to capitalize on that. Right, Adam?
Yeah, and the mystical stuff we're talking about on this show, this happens in the context of an advanced spiritual life for most people.
Right.
Or it's something God does to give radical conversion, and it's a brief one-time event.
Yep.
This is not something that we just stumble into in life. It's something that God gives in the context of a devout Christian life.
Absolutely. So, Marie, thank you so much for calling in. It sounded like your husband was next to you. So thank you. Tell your niece to please get back to the Catholic Church. Sharon, we're so sorry we're not going to get to you. Lynn, a first-time caller from Elmira, New York. Interesting dream there. We're going. If you want to call back next week, we have our open forum, and you can call in. Sharon and Lynn, you'll be the first ones we'll take. It's an open forum next week. Okay, thanks to the show team. Thanks to Guadalupe Radio Network. Thanks to EWTN for getting this all over the world. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.